So we're here on Daf Kuf Aleph on the base, and we'll start from Amar Rav Yehuda. This would be like middle of the Daf. Now, if you recall, we had a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and Chachamim. As to whether or not the Iser Gidonosha applies to a behemoth tmeah, non-kosher animal. So Yehuda wanted to establish that even though you already have the Iser behemoth tmeah, you can still add the Iser Gidonosha, and that doesn't do injustice to the principle of Ein Iser Chalos, because this is going to be an exception to that rule. And why is that so? Rav Yehuda adopts the principle in general of Ein Iser Chalos, but in the case of Gidonosha, we're going to say that the Iser Gidonosha is what's called an Iser Chamur. It's more Chamur vis-a-vis the Iser of Behemoth Tmeh. Therefore, the Iser Gidonosha will be Chal on top of Behemoth Tmeh. How does Rabbi Yehuda demonstrate that the Iser Gidonosha is more Chamur than the Iser Behemoth Tmeh? And the answer is, we'll see it inside in a minute, but just by way of introduction, Ben Noach. Whereas there's no Iser of Behemoth Tmeah to a Ben Noach, but there is an Iser of Gidonosha to Ben Noach. What does that mean? We don't know that a Ben Noach is enjoined from eating a Gidonosha. He has seven Isurim, seven mitzvahs, one of which is a Kashrus law, but that's Eivim and Achai, that's not Gidonosha. Rabbi Yehuda, Valo mi bnei Yaakov. Let's go back to the Mishnah just to read quickly Rabbi Yehuda's language on Kuf Amid Beis. It says, "Valo mitnei Yaakov shenesa gidanoshe v'adayim behemet meim muteres lehem." If we look at the Bnei Yaakov, we find that they are included in the Isur gidanoshe, even though they're not included in behemet meim. We don't find that there was an Isur behemet meim that was given imposed on Bnei Yaakov, because Bnei Yaakov had the status of Ben Noach. This is before the Torah is given, but nevertheless, they have an Isur of Gidonosha. And how does Rabbi Yehuda know that they have an Iser of Gidonosha? Because the Pasuk says in Breishis Lamed Beis, Al Kain Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Es Gidonosha.
In this they have the status of Ben Noach.
And even though they have the status of Ben Noach, from Desvegen, they still are included in the Iser, they still have the Iser of Gidonosha. So the Iser of Gidonosha has a certain Chumrah that we don't find in any other Issa, certainly not in Behemoth Tmeah, because Behemoth Tmeah is not, there's no prohibition of Behemoth Tmeah on a Nochri, on a Ben Noach. But yet, at least in the case of Bnei Yaakov, we have an application of the Issa of Gidonosha, despite the fact that their status is that of Bnei Noach. You know, it's interesting on the side, this is not really part of our Shia today, but Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev tells us that Yosef, when he brought Lashon Hara about his brothers to Yaakov, he was tattletaling that they ate Avram and Achai. And it's interesting because I was wondering, why did they eat Avram and Achai and not Gidonosha? After all, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Bnei Yaakov were prohibited, they were enjoined from eating Gidonosha. So it's possible to suggest, but unlikely, that this was before the Iser of Gidonosha was given. I had another svara, because there's a shita that says, Ein beginim v'no sein tam. So there's no desire on anyone's part to eat the Gidonosha. It's kind of chewy, it gets stuck between your teeth, and it doesn't have any fantastic flavor to it. But Avram and Achai, some say that Avram and Achai is even more tasty than an animal that dies. I don't know if that's true or not. Okay, that's just on the side. So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanya, Amru lo, the Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Akiva, V'chi Nemar. Does it say in the Pasuk, Al Kain lo Yochlu Bnei Yaakov? And the end of the Pasuk is Esgidonosha. If it would have said Bnei Yaakov, that would have been a reference to the entire story of Yaakov fighting with the Malach. And if you remember, the Malach injured Yaakov in the Gidonosha. Then it would make sense that since Yaakov Avinu suffered at the hands of the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, he suffered in his Gidonosha, therefore the Torah says that the Bnei Yaakov like Yaakov, you know, have this they should have an antithetical relationship, so to speak, with the Giranosh. But that's not what it says in the pasuk. Valolo nemar elo, but the pasuk says al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael es Giranosh. And here the Chachamim present a very fascinating thesis. And that is that there's a fundamental difference between the phrase Bnei Yaakov and the phrase Bnei Yisrael. It's almost as if Bnei Yisrael is a code word for Matan Torah. Bnei Yisrael means the nation that received the entire corpus of the Torah, all 613 mitzvahs. They are called Bnei Yisrael. The name Bnei Yaakov is a reference to, perhaps you could say, a clan, a group of sons who would ultimately, you know, as the generations evolve, become the forefathers of Bnei Yisrael. But they only become Bnei Yisrael, and they only, that phrase or that title, Bnei Yisrael, only emerges with Har Sinai. And what the Torah is trying to indicate is that this Iser, this lav in the Torah that enjoins us from eating a Giranosha like the rest of the Torah, is given at Har Sinai. There's a secret here in the phrase Bnei Yisrael, and that secret is coming to reveal v'lo nikru Bnei Yisrael at Sinai, and therefore the Iser of Giranoshe, as it's binding, you know, the binding nature of the Iser, or the active nature of the Iser Giranoshe, only emerges with Har Sinai. Before Har Sinai there was no Iser. At Har Sinai, obviously, we were all already Jews. There's no, you know, the mitzvahs are given to Bnei Yisrael, they're not given to Bnei Noach at Har Sinai, and therefore for you to come along, Rabbi Yehuda, and assume that the Bnei Yaakov were already included in the Iser of Giranoshe, which makes Giranoshe elevated to the status of an Iser Chamur, insofar as Bnei Yaakov are Bnei Noach, and the Iser of Giranoshe emerges before the Iser of Behemoth Meah, because clearly Bnei Yaakov are not enjoined from eating Behemoth Meah. That's incorrect, because had it been correct, the Torah would have, Adarav, have been very careful to call them Bnei Yaakov, which means Bnei Yaakov have the status of Bnei Noach. It's before Matan Torah, and as Bnei Yaakov, they were given, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this Iser of Giranoshe. But the Torah deliberately avoids that and chooses that catchphrase called Bnei Yisrael, which means that we have to identify this with Matan Torah. So if that be the case, then the Chachamim realize they're in a little bit of a brach over here, because you can't tell me that there's no relationship between the Iser of Giranoshe and the episode of Yaakov with the Malach, because the Torah takes this Iser of Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael and places it right there in the aftermath of the confrontation between Yaakov and the Malach. Ela, so this is how the Chacham reconcile this. B'Sinai Nemar, in truth, the pasuk of Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Es Giranoshe was given at Har Sinai, together with all the other mitzvahs. Ela Shenichtav Bimkomo, but rather it was placed over there in Bracious Lamed Beis, if I got it correct. And why was it placed over there in Bracious Lamed Beis? Just want to make sure I got the right chapter here. Just 1 second. Of course, when I'm looking for it, it's hard for me to find it. But let's assume it's Lamed Beis, if not Lamed Gimel. Yeah, Lamed Beis, good. And why was it placed there? You know, it's like a crane, you know, that picks up something and puts it down elsewhere. The answer is, Leda, in order to reveal to us, Me'eza Tam Nesar Lahem. Leda, in order to notify us and teach us, why was the Giranoshe, it's a very strange kind of halacha, that of all the parts of the animal, of a kosher animal, the Torah designates, you know, one part as being osur. Of course, we know that the dam of an animal is osur, but there the Torah says ki adamu anefesh. The Torah gives us a little bit of an insight, and the Mefarshim are going to go to town as to why we're enjoined from eating dam. What about Giranoshe? Vosefes Giranoshe? And the answer is, you should know that Giranoshe really has its reasoning somehow inherent in the parasha of the Ma'avak, if you will, the encounter between Yaakov and the Malach. Masiv Rava says, wait a minute, either the Chachamim are still in a brach here. They're not out in the clear. Because indeed, I can prove to you that the phrase Bnei Yaakov is given to the sons of Jacob way before Matan Torah, way before Har Sinai. Yes. Why? Because the Pasuk says, and now we're fast-forwarding Bnei Yisrael, I meant to say, I don't know what I said, that the phrase Bnei Yisrael is not limited to the sons of, or the descendants of Yaakov after, from Har Sinai and beyond. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim after Yosef revealed himself, it says, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael es Yaakov Avihem, Ba'golos es Shesholach Paro lo say so. And here they are called Bnei Yisrael way before Matan Torah. And the Gemara answers, Li'achar Maisa. What it means is that after the Maisa in which Yaakov Avinu experienced a name change, he had this encounter with the Malach, and Yaakov becomes Yisrael Kisarisa, right? In Elokim Vatuchal, you were able to successfully stave off this Malach. Then the Torah is going to say, Lo Yikore Shimcha od Yaakov Kim Yisrael. But there, the phrase Bnei Yisrael means something totally different. It describes, if you will, the identity or the personality of the people of Israel. It's not a technical catchphrase for referring to Har Sinai. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the name of Yaakov to Yisrael, which means that you, Yaakov, are the father of a Yisrael tribe, your descendants starting from your Shvatim, your immediate family, your children, are imbued with the Midah of Yisrael, then the children of Yaakov, insofar as they inherit from their father the Yisrael dimension, right, that dimension of Yaakov's attributes, they can be called Bnei Yisrael. But the parsha of Al Kein Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael precedes the name change. It's before the name change, at least the name change that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. The name change of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yikar Shimchod Yaakov Yisrael, that's in Perek Lamed He of Sefer Bereishis. And the Yerida of Yaakov Mitzrayim is in Perek Mem Vav, almost 11 chapters down the line. So again, Yaakov's name change takes place before Bnei Yisrael are called Bnei Yisrael. So obviously, the phrase Bnei Yisrael, in terms of the sons of Yaakov who's called Yisrael, that phrase would be totally inappropriate and out of place before Perek Lamed Hei, namely in Perek Lamed Beis, when the Torah records the confrontation between Yaakov and the Malach. And at that point, when it says Al Kein Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael Eskid Anosha, there the phrase Bnei Yisrael means something totally different. It doesn't mean the Bonim of Yaakov, whose name was changed to Yisrael because of his Midah of Kisarisa Vatuchal, but rather Bnei Yisrael that are going to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. That's called the Achara Maisa. And the one who clarifies this is Tosus, actually. If you see the last Tosus on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, he wants to say that Hadakamar Li'el, on the third line, Lo Nikru Yisrael at Har Sinai, Hainu Li'inyan Mitzvahs. Now, as if you want to talk about Bnei Yisrael as a nation of mitzvahs, that entered into the covenant and committed themselves, Nasi V'nishma to Tariq Mitzvahs, that phrase, Bnei Yisrael, is connected to Har Sinai. From Har Sinai and onwards, do they deserve that appellation, that name called Bnei Yisrael? If you're talking about individual members of the tribe of Yaakov who have great attributes, and they've inherited those great attributes from Yaakov, that phrase Bnei Yisrael, which only emerges from Bereishis Lamed He and onwards, if you fast forward 11 chapters to the Bnei Yisrael who take the their father is Zagola, and they bring it down, they carry it down to Mitzrayim, that's Bnei Yisrael as those children of Yaakov whose name was changed to Bnei Yisrael. Anytime it says Bnei Yisrael earlier in the Torah, before the name change of Yaakov, that phrase Bnei Yisrael means the Bnei Yisrael as a legal entity that received and are obligated by legislation 615 mitzvahs. So again, when, according to the Chachamim, was Gid Anosha binding at Har Sinai, but not before Har Sinai, and therefore Gid Anosha in no way is an Isur Chomer that applied to Bnei Noach? Amale Rav Acha Breda Rava Lirav Ashi. Meahi Shaito Litzar. Litzar. Why not say that at least from the time that they were called Bnei Yisrael, meaning they inherited the name of their father, and they were called Bnei Yisrael, maybe at that moment in time they were already worthy of a kind of Har Sinai experience in the miniature, meaning a kind of microcosm. We know that the Torah was given as an entire entity, a corpus of 613 at Har Sinai, but maybe we should interpret the pasuk Bnei Yisrael in Brachos Lamed Memvav, excuse me, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael Yaakov Avihu. At that point in time, they became Bnei Yisrael in the legal sense. And maybe, what does it mean in the legal sense? After all, Torah was given, the mitzvahs were given Har Sinai. This is way before Har Sinai. The answer would be at least in terms of the Iser of Gid Anosha. Maybe the Iser of Gid Anosha, which is a Jewish Iser exclusively, and doesn't apply to Bnei Noach, was given not at Har Sinai, was given to Bnei Yisrael at an earlier time. Again, it's not clear why at that particular moment in time they were given the Iser of Gid Anosha, but be that as it may, it would still accomplish Rabbi Yehuda's goal if you want to tell me that they weren't given the Iser of Gid Anosha at the time of the encounter between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach. And even if Rabbi Yehuda would say, I grant you that position, Chachamim, you are correct, but at least admit to me that they were given the Iser of Gid Anosha as Bnei Yisrael way before Har Sinai, which would again justify classifying Gid Anosha as what? As an Iser Chamur. The Gemara says, no, you can't say such a thing. V'chi Torah pa'amim pa'amim nitna. I'm not willing, said the Chacham, we're not willing to accept the position in which Torah is given piecemeal at different points in time. It's not the time in which Yaakov Avinu was battling, you know, with the and victorious in his confrontation with the Malach. You know, you want to say that there would be a moment of time in which perhaps the Torah would say, you know, let me give you this Easter, because the reason for this Easter already emerged as a reality. So at that juncture in time, maybe you could imagine, but this is Lav Shas Ma'isahavi. Bnei Yisrael just bringing Yaakov down to Mitzrayim in Perek Mem Vav. This is not Perek Lamed Beis. The Lo Shas Matan Torah Havi. On the other hand, the other phrase of Bnei Yisrael that might indicate that they received it as a legal binding Avera, that doesn't make any sense, because that only applies at Matan Torah. So Pa'amim Pa'amim Nitna. And the last time we learned this together, we asked the following question: what about Mara? Mara perhaps is a kind of pa'amim pa'amim nitna. There were a number of mitzvahs that were given at Mara before Har Sinai, including, I mean, Paraduma is an issue. Certainly the Easter, the mitzvah of Shabbos was given at Mara. What else am I missing? Rashi has something else there. Parshas Shlach, you know, we can look at Parshas, not Shlach, but Bishalach. I'm already holding in Parshas Shlach, preparing something for my trip to. What?
Parshas Bo is full of mitzvahs, isn't it?
Parshas Bo, well, that's called Pesach Midbar as opposed to Pesach Ledoros. That was not a mitzvah Ledoros. Shabbos was given as a mitzvah Ledoros. In any event, if you take a look in the Mefarshim, especially in a sefer called Emes LeYaakov of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he speaks about the Rishonim who say that Mara was just an educational experience. It was a way of breaking Klal Yisrael to the mitzvahs in order to enhance or intensify their appetite for Kabbalah Satorah, but it wasn't really a binding mitzvah at that time.
How about,
it's like chinuch of a cotton. Yeah.
Bris Milah.
Bris Milah was given after Har Sinai, and that's why the Torah reiterates the mitzvah of Bris Milah in Parshas Tazria.
But it wasn't chal on them before?
Not as a binding mitzvah. Not as a binding mitzvah. That's what the Rambam calls, if you take a look at the very beginning of Hilchas Melachim, I believe, the Rambam calls it Nitna Torah v'nischad shalach. In other words, with with it, giving it the Torah, all those minhagim, I don't know what word to use, became halach, became bind. So, for example, we're not going to learn dinim of milah from the parsha in Lech Lecha, right? For example, in Lech Lecha, there's a chiyuv milah for what's it called, but not b'nei beis. So, what's the Torah? Anshei beis, or whatever the pasuk is there. Right? You take a look at the end of parshas Lech Lecha, and there are other dinim that applied to, the Yishmael had a Mila, and this, that, the Chiyuv of Avraham Avinu in Mila was unique, it was different, and therefore we don't derive halachic conclusions about the nature of the mitzvah of Mila from what took place in the time of Avraham Avinu. And even the Avelus for Yaakov when he passed away, which in a certain sense is a source for the mitzvah of Avelus, the Rambam says that's only Durabana. On a Doraisa level, all of Avelus of 7 days is Durabana. It's not Doraisa. Even though, again, you'll see it says there that they were Misabel for 7 days. And that's the Rambam's famous principle of Nitna Torah v'Nischat Shalach, that all the Chidushim La'alocha that are binding for eternity, they are given at Har Sinai and from Har Sinai and on. Now, by the way, when it says V'chitorah Pamim Nitna, the Sfarno, for example, is famous for his position, which he reiterates throughout his commentary on the Torah, which seems to be contradictory, but I want to point out it's not contradictory to this V'chitorah Pamim Nitna, because the Sfarno consistently says that with episodes that took place in the lives of Klal Yisrael, mitzvahs were given. For example, he claims that the mitzvahs of Mishkan were actually given after Chet HaEgel, and there were certain parashas that were given after the Chet of the Meraglim, and I don't remember all the details, but if you piece together many different Sfarnos, he feels that, but even the Sfarno agrees that those mitzvahs are only binding once they're written in the Torah. And from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu completed the reading of the writing of the Torah, which was at the end of the 40-year period of the Midbar, from then on, there's no room for any other mitzvahs. So it could be that there was a period of time, according to the Sfarno, it's a very revolutionary position of the Sfarno, during the 40-year period of the Midbar, where mitzvahs were being added, and in that sense, it's Pa'am Nitna. But nevertheless, that's only during that period of time before the entire corpus of Torah was sealed and signed as a closed entity. And now, Rabbo, so what I'd like to begin with you is the sugya of Eivor Menachai. Bana Rabban, we're mamish at the end of Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, and hopefully this is mine. And hopefully moving on to Kuf Beis Amid Aleph. We've had a machlokas regarding Gidan Noshe, and now we're going to have a similar machlokas with regard to Eivor Menachai. Just like we saw that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita back on Daf Kufam and Beis is to expand the application, the scope of Gidan Noshe to include even a Behemoth Tmeah, so too Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa is going to expand the scope of Eivor Menachai to include Behemoth Tmeah. And we're going to have to face the music again, because as we've established, Rabbi Yehuda accepts the general principle of Eini Isur Chalal Isur, and the exception was Gidan Noshe, insofar as Gidan Noshe is an Isur Chamur, because it applies to Bnei Yaakov. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. How then is Rabbi Yehuda going to apply the Isur of Eivor Menachai to Behemoth Tmeah? After all, the Behemoth Tmeah is already Asur B'Toras Tmeah. And what's going to be the obvious answer of Osai? Yisur Chom. Why is Eivor Menachai an Yisur Chom? Again, it's not apparent that Gidan Noshe is an Yisur Chom. Rabbi Yehuda has to do somersaults in the air in order to convince me and you that Gidan Noshe is an Yisur Chom. But he doesn't have to do somersaults in the air to prove that Eivor Menachai is an Yisur Chom. Why not?
No.
Exactly, because Eivor Menachai applies to a Ben Noach, right? In fact, back in Bereishis, the Torah itself it formulates the Iser of Eivor and Achai, even for Ben Noach. That's in Perek Tes, if you want to make a note of it. It says, Kol Remes Asheru Chai Lachem Yel Ochlo. And then it says, Ach Basa Benafsho Doma Lo Sochlu. And Basa Benafsho is a reference to Eivor and Achai. That's back in Bereishis Tes. So again, I have no problem understanding Rabbi Yehuda here. I'm going to have a problem understanding the Chachamim. Because, and by the way, the Brisa codifies this halacha not only in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Abraham and Achai Noeg v'behem Achai v'of bein tmeim bein tahorim, where the kosher animals are kosher birds, or non-kosher animals, non-kosher birds, there always is going to be an Isra Abraham and Achai divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And now he adds v'Rabbi Elazar. So whereas in Gidah Noshe we only had Rabbi Yehuda as sort of like a lone soldier, but now we have another buddy here who's going to team up with Rabbi Yehuda against the Chacham. That's Rabbi Elazar. And Belin Eder, as soon as we get to Daf Kuf Beis on top in a few minutes from now, we'll have a discussion about Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Noig El B'Tahorim. And I would say at this point that the burden of proof is on the shoulders of who? The Chacham. Because if we assume that Ein Iser Chal Iser does not apply in the exceptional case of an Iser Chomer, meaning when that Iser is extended in its scope to apply to Ben Noach, then why shouldn't Avram and Achai be an Iser that's added to piggyback on top of Tmein, on top of the Kashrus law, which would mean that if you pluck a limb from a live animal or bird, then you should get two sets of malchus. One set of 39 lashes for violating a non-kosher animal, the eating of a non-kosher animal. Number two, yet at the same time you ate Avram and Achai because you took the limb off from a live animal.
I never understood Avram and Achai. Take a thing, eat
a it sounds so disgusting, or?
Yeah, no one does that.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you what I saw on the street here, from Main Street on the floor. How someone could have done that to a cat. I mean, I'm telling you, we live in a strange world. What can I tell you? But if I tell you what I saw, I'd probably start vomiting right here in the shir room. So I don't want to do that. I mean, it's almost like Bomer, so we want to be Besimcha. Or Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ushneim mikra echad darshu. This is a fascinating point to Rabbi Yochanan. They both, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, and the Chacham on the other hand, saw the same exact verse in front of them, and they came up with two interpretations of the verse. What does the Torah say? Now here we're fast-forwarding to Parshas Re'eh. And it says there, Rak chazak levilti achol adam, ki adam hu ha-nefesh. And that's the Isra Achilas Dom. And in the very same verse, and here we're looking on page Kuf Beis, it says, Lo tochal ha-nefesh im ha-bosa, which is the source for Avraham Achai. So in one pasuk, the Torah gives us two different Isurim that seem to have very little in common. One is the Isra Achilas Dom, and the other is the Isra of Avraham and Achai. Dam and Avraham and Achai in the same pasuk. Now usually if you have two things in the same pasuk, what does that give you? Like, I'll give you an example. You know, we have a hekesh between Havaya and Yitziah, which means between Kiddushin and Gerushin. A lot of the laws of Kiddushin are derived from Gerushin. Why? Because in the same pasuk it says V'yotza v'hoysa. Right? He gave her get, V'yotza. She goes out of that marriage through the get, that's called Gerushin, and then Vahoysa Lishachar, she marries someone else. So that's the Hekesh between Havaya and Yitziah, between Gittin and Kiddushin. Here too, what should you derive, I'm just looking for a four letter word here, from the fact that both Dam and Avram and Achai are introduced in the same pasuk? That's called a Hekesh. Does anybody want to write that down? Hey Yud Kufshin. And what a hekesh means is that when I want to determine an unknown, Okay, an unknown, meaning if I have a mitzvah or an isa in the Torah and I don't know how far reaching or how wide or broad the scope of that isa is, should I apply it only here or should I apply it there? What I'm going to do is I'm going to use a hekesh in order to make that determination. Like, I'll give you another example, and then Michael, the floor is yours, because I just don't want to forget this. There's a hekesh between Gili Arayas and Ritzicha. In the very same pasuk of Rotzeach, the Torah says the Gili Arayas is awesome. So the Gemara says that what we derive from this is just like in the case of Ritzicha, if a person puts a gun to you and he says, kill somebody or I'll kill you, is he a harik val yavar? So too, a person puts a gun to your head and he says, have relations with this erva or I'll kill you, you have to allow yourself to be killed. That's called Yehorik Val Yavar. So that's when two things are written in the same pasuk. And Rabbi Yehuda now is going to make a big deal about the fact that the Isur Dam and the Isur Eiv Menachai are written both in the same pasuk to teach you the scope of Eiv Menachai. That if you have doubts how far reaching the Isur Eiv Menachai is, and you want to say, well, why should I apply Eiv Menachai to Behemet Tmeya? Because it's already Asur anyway. It's Tmeya. The answer is, let's look at Dam. And in the case of Dam, the Torah prohibits Dam even in a Behemet Tmeya. Michael?
The B'nai Noach learn Eiv Menachai from somewhere in Bereishis, don't they?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to know that yet, because that's going to be the maskot of Asugi, but you already know that. Yes. So you're privy to classify information. Oh, but see. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, okay. So, but we as B'nai Israel only learn it from here.
Correct.
So until here, what are we saying? That we could have eaten Eirim and Achai?
That we would have been included in the universal Isur of Eirim and Achai.
Yeah, okay, so then we don't need to learn it here.
Well, we need it here in order to take on a new dimension.
Right.
Correct?
Of Behemoth.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Okay then. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that the Hekesh between Dam and Eirim and Achai teaches us. That's what we see here. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loza Savri, they're of the opinion that kol shata mitzuval domo ata mitzuval evarov vahani tmeim nami hov ata mitzuval domon ata mitzuval al avaron. Avar means they're evaron, even though they're alive. So what it means is that Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Yehuda are of the opinion that it's no coincidence that the Torah put dam, the love of Achilas Dam, in the same posk as the love of what? Achilas Eivar Menachai. And that is meant to teach us something that we wouldn't have known otherwise, that just like Dam applies to a Behemah Tmeya, so too Eivar Menachai applies to a Behemah Tmeya. Now the Gemara doesn't spell out, how do we know that the Iser of Dam applies to Behemah Tmeya? Maybe we should say Ein Isur Chalal Isur. So on this we have a sugya not here in Masechta Chulin, but rather a sugya in Masechta Krisus, or as Rav Lichtenstein used to call it, Krasos. He claimed that was a more grammatically correct, but most people call it Masechta Krisus anyway. So you want to be real fancy, you'll call it Krasos. So in Masechta Krasos, the Gemara has a very long, complicated sugya to establish that the Isur Dam applies not only to Behemah Tahora, but also to Behemah Tmeya. Means if you extract the blood of a Behemah Tmeya and eat it, you violate two different Isur, you get two sets of Malkus. Number one, you're eating a Behemah Tmeya. And number two, you're also Chaya for Achilas Dam. And now the Torah places, juxtaposes Eivar Menachai in the same pasuk, continues to Dam, says Rabbi Yehuda Rablaza, to teach us that just like Dam applies even to Behemah Tmeya, you violate two lavin, so too the Iser of Eivar Menachai applies to Behemah Tmeya, and therefore if you eat Eivar Menachai, you pluck the limb off of a live non-kosher animal and eat it, you violate two lavin and you get two different sets of mouth. Now the question that I want to raise with you is, why would we think otherwise? Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to create this hekesh, placing juxtaposing two lavim, which have ostensibly nothing to do one with the other, next to each other, in order to teach us this law, why would I think otherwise? Why would I think that the Isur of Eivir ben Achai should not apply to Bein Metmeah? He can tell me an Isur Chalal Isur. But here, clearly, it's an Isur Chalur, because it applies to Ben Noah. So I'm not sure that we understand this sugya fully yet. We're going to have to embellish this sugya a little bit further and understand, as we go along in this sugya, why Rav Yehuda Rav Lozer felt compelled to invoke this hekesh, why the Torah feel compelled to give us this hekesh, to establish that behema, that the Yisrael of Menachai applies to behema t'meima. Why would I think otherwise? L'chor it's an Yisrael Chom, unless this itself is the source for the halach of Yisrael Chom. Mikan lamadnu Yisrael Chom. Why did the Torah say that if I eat Avram and Achayev Behem and Tmei, I violate two lavim? What about an Isach Alisa? The answer is because it's an Isachom. And this is the source for Isachom. In any event, what do the Chachamim do with this pasuk? V'rabbanan Savri, lo sochal ha-nefesh ima basar. We have to really analyze very carefully the words of this Iser Avram and Achai as formulated by the Torah. The Torah says, Lo sochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar, which means there are two things that exist simultaneously. They coexist. One is the nefesh, and the other is the basar. And the Torah says that combination of nefesh and basar generates an Isur of Losokha. Had it been Basar without Nefesh, then you would not have any sort of Isur. The Isur is because you have A plus B, Basar and Nefesh. So if you would have a dead animal, which means you take the Nefesh out of it, you're left with Basar, then it would be Mutter. No. In other words, what we're saying is that the basar of Avram and Achai in and of itself, if not for the fact that it's Avram and Achai, meaning that the animal's alive, the basar itself would be a chefzideh teira. The Torah is saying, you know why you can't eat this? It's because this basar has another element to it. It's nefesh. The basar is menachai. Say the Chachamim, what the Torah is telling us here is that this Isur of nefesh is only applicable to a kosher animal whose basar can be eaten. And now it can't be eaten because it's nefesh. If you take away the nefesh, i.e. through shechita, right, you slaughter the animal, then by isolating the basar and removing it from nefesh, it becomes mutter.
But it's not chay, so that's a long, and it's...
No, but what the Torah is trying to tell me is that if it would have been basar, then in any event would have been asar, irrelevant to the fact that it's nefesh, then it would not be Avram and Achai. The Avram and Achai prohibition is because it's a different kind of basar that has a nefesh. It's the basar that's mutter in and of itself, but it's nefesh. The Torah wants to therefore limit the scope of Avram and Achai and tell you that if the basar would have been asur in any event, irrelevant to regardless of the fact that it's nefesh, meaning because it is basar behem tmeah, then there's no Isur Nefesh. The Torah is saying that the Basar per se is Mutter, but it's Nefesh. Had you removed the Nefesh, the Basar would be Mutter. That's applicable only in the case of a Behema Tahora, but not in the case of Behema Tveya, because in the case of Behema Tveya, it would have been Asur regardless of the Nefesh. So let's read it inside. Hoyil, the Rabbanan say, Lo sochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. You're eating the dam of you're eating the nefesh with the basar, and that combination is volatile, right? Ela basar l'chudei. But had the basar been alone, meaning independent of nefesh, which would mean after shechita, then it would be mutter. It's asur because there was no shechita, and therefore you're eating nefesh. So kol shebesara mutter, the Torah is saying that the basar itself per se would have been mutter except for the fact that what? It's nefesh. And it was no shkita zata mitzuva al evarav. You can't pluck any limb from that body because that body, that basar itself, would in and of itself would be heter, meaning if it was subject to shlita. But kol she'ein b'saro mutter, if you have something which the basar is by definition, from its very inception, it's also because it is a behemoth meyah, iyato mitzuva alevarov, you're not chayv on the evarim. It's almost as if the Torah is saying that the basar is made up of many evarim. And as long as there's nefesh in that basar, don't take apart those evarim and eat them piecemeal. That's a violation called evarim achayv. But if the basar is left alone, meaning without the nefesh element, then you're allowed to eat the evarim of that basar because you shechted that basar. But that only makes sense from Edmar Mu to Behema Tahora. If it's Behema Tmeya, where the evarim will be also even without nefesh, meaning because shchit is meaningless in the case of Behema Tmeya, you can't shech the pig, it's not going to help you one bit. Maybe it's a way of learning Hilchos Shchit, I don't know. I never heard that they teach people shchita with a behemoth tmei, I don't know, but it sounds like a good idea.
There's no other way of expressing the issue. You have to mention basar, and you have to mention chayza. It's not as if there's a...
You know, where's the extra word, you mean?
Yeah.
Let me think about that for a second. Lo sochal hanefesh im habasar. Oh, I think, this is just to answer your question, which I'm thinking out now for the first time. I think it could have said, lo sochal nefesh habasar. What's the im habasar? I think the extra im is isolating the basar and telling you which basar is included in lo sochal. Now, the im habasar is emphasizing the category, so to speak, of the basar.
It's habasar. Maybe it's the hay
of Havos.
You know, it's the specific one, i.e. the Tahora, not the Tahora,
not the Tahora. Because they
sound that vision in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Right. But your question is an excellent question. Oh, now the Gemara is going to ask our question. Rabbi Yehuda Lomeli Kra, why does Rabbi Yehuda feel compelled to introduce this hekage and derive thereof the Iser of Eber Nachayin Be'im Etmeya? Lese Iser Eber V'lechul al Iser Tuma. Why not just say that the Iser Eber Nachai should be chal on top of the Iser Tuma, meaning that the fact it's a non-kosher animal. She came Isurei Noeg B'ben the B'nei Noach, which makes it into what kind of Iser Abosai? An Iser Chamur. Why did you need this whole, you know, rigmarole with Dam, and just like Dam is chal on a Bei Mitmea, so too Eber Nachai is chal on a Bei Mitmea. Dalmiyot, you leave that all out. Why not just say that the Iser Evimanachai is chal on the Iser Tmeya? What are you going to tell me? I recoil from such a position because Ein Iser Chal. The answer is we have here a case of an Iser Chamur. You know, whether or not Gid Anosh is an Iser Chamur, you could rack your brains for a year and try to figure out what's Bnei Yisrael, what's Bnei Yaakov, a hin and a hair. But there's no question that Evimanachai is an Iser Chamur. Enochi Nami says the Gemara v'chi itzrich kra l'Rabbi Elazar. The pasuk here is not necessary for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a tag along here. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa would not need this pasuk. We only quote Rabbi Yehuda in this context because he agrees together with Rabbi Elazar that there is Avram and Achai and Abayim and Tmeya. But if you ask for the reason or the source for it, you'll get two different answers from two Jews. Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you the reason why Eber Nachai applies to a Behem Tmei is because Iser Chal Iser but Iser Chomer. And Rabbi Lazar, who doesn't have this principle of Iser Chomer, he understands that Ein Iser Chal Iser is a universal principle until I know otherwise. And the fact that that it's an Iser Chomer is irrelevant. He never adopted the principle of Iser Chomer. Ein Iser Chal Iser, period. So you've got to find some source in the Torah that the second Iser could be chal on the first Iser. And the source for that is going to be this Hekesh to Dam. So again, if you ask me, does Avram and Achai apply to Behem and Tmei according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, what's the answer? Yes. If you ask me why Avram and Achai applies to a Behem and Tmei, you'll get two different answers. You'll get one answer from Rabbi Yehuda, namely Iser Chal Iser Iser Chamur. You'll get a different answer from Rabbi Elazar because of the Hekesh Tadam. So I have a footnote here in the name of Rav Yoshev. You heard of Rav Yoshev? You know? I have a grandson who's named after him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my son named him after Rav Yoshev in order that he should grow up to be like Rav Yoshev. Even though Rav Yoshev, you know, we're not related to Rav Yoshev, so I can't claim, you know, we're learning Yuchsin now, so we can't claim Yuchsin here, but Rav Yoshev claims, I'm not sure how he knows this, that there's a category called Iser Mosif, and everybody agrees that that neutralizes the principle of Ein Iser Chal Iser. Now, what's the case of an Iser Mosif? So let me just flip back over here to an Iser Mosif. Just 1 second. An Iser Mosif means that the Hefta has a broader scope than the original Iser. For example, what's the case of an Iser Mosif? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that Gid Anosh applies even to a behemoth mayor, then Gid Anosh becomes an Iser Mosif. Why? Because behemoth mayor applies to behemoth mayor, and Gid Anosh applies both to behemoth mayor and to behemoth tahora. And the same logic will apply to Abraham Menachah. So that's called an Iser Mosif. I just want to double check if I got this right. Oh, here's a simpler case. Let's say an animal dies without shechita. And what's that called? Nevela. And now somebody eats the gid of this nevela. He's chayev shtayim. Why? Why not apply the principle of Ein Iser Chal Iser? The answer is because nevela is an Iser Mosif. Why is it Iser Mosif? Because the Gid Anosh only applies to the Gid, and the Iser Nevela applies to the entire animal. That makes sense, what I just said? So the Iser Nevela could be Chal on Iser Gid, and why is that? Because the Iser of Nevela applies to all parts of the animal, whereas the Iser Gid only applies to the Gid Anosh alone. I mean, this is all what I'm trying to put together here for Rav Yoshev's question. So now, we want to know if there's an Iser Avram and Achai on a behemoth meh. So Rav Yoshev says that Iser Avram and Achai should lend itself to the din of Mosif. Why Mosif? Because when the animal dies, it's a non-kosher animal, and Aver and Achai only applies when you take the Aver while it's alive, correct? But once the animal dies, the Iser of Behemoth Tmeah now applies to the entire animal, not just to individual Isurim. I'm sorry, to individual Avar, I meant to say, sorry. The tirates Rabbi Yoshev, she Rabbi Elazar chole gamal iser mosif. Wow, this is pretty wild. Now I don't know how to work this out with Gid Anosh and Nevela, so don't ask me that question. But Rabbi Yoshev wants to say that Rabbi Elazar rejects any exception to the rule of any iser chal iser, even iser mosif. You know, the Gemara explicitly only says that Rabbi Elazar rejected the concept of iser chomer. Meaning that since Abram and Achai applies to Ben Noach, therefore it should be Chal, and that's reviewed this logic on a Behemoth Tmeah. Because Behemoth Tmeah only applies to Israel and not to Ben Noach, whereas what? Whereas Abram and Achai applies to Ben Noach, that makes it Yisrochom. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need this hekesh. Who needs this hekesh to establish Eid Manachayim and Beit Tvei? It's only Rabbi Loza, because he rejected Isur Chom. Comes on Rabbi Yashiv, and he says something that's not explicit in the sugya, namely that Rabbi Loza rejects even Isur Moshe. Now, you're going to have to answer the question. So, in the case of Nevela, why is Nevela chal on Abram and on whatchamacallit on Gidon Noshe? Obviously, that's Isur Mosif. The answer is going to be that we need a pasuk for that. I don't know what pasuk it is. That's going to indicate that Gidon Noshe applies whether the animal's alive, whether the animal's dead, and whether it died through Shchita, it died without Shchita, Nevela or not Nevela. But one thing I can tell you, how does Rabbi Loza know that we suspend the operation of Eini Sochalisa with regard to Eivim Menachai, and therefore Eivim Menachai will be Chal on a Behemoth Tmeya? That he knows from the Hekish Tadam. Okay, I got off a little bit on a tangent. So, Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes a Brisa to support this. Keep in mind that this Brisa is going to support the analysis of Rabbi Yochanan, that everybody comes from the same source, they're all trying to interpret the same posuk. We have a price that says Eivim Nachai Noig B'Behem Achai Aviyov Bein Tmeya Bein Tahora. Obviously, this is the view of Rabbi Loza. Shenema Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam Kol Shatam Mitzuv Al Damo Atam Mitzuv Al Ivoro Kol Shatam Mitzuv Al Damo I Atam Mitzuv Al Ivoro. So if you take a look here in the Mefarsh, they say, what does it mean, Iyatam Mitzuval, Dovar Shiyatam Mitzuval Domo? That's a reference to what's called Dogim Vechagovim. Okay, those are categories where there is no Iser Dam. So Rabbi Loza, again, I'm not recommending that you do this, but technically, if you take a grasshopper and you eat it alive, or you pluck off a leg of a grasshopper or part of a fish that's still alive, you're allowed to eat it, according to this Matioma. And why is that so? Because of the Hekesh, because the Hekesh between Dam and Eivim Menachai. Dibrei Rabbi Loza. So there's no Eivim Menachai in Dogim v'chagovim, because there's no Issa Dam in Dogim v'chagovim.
That's what I was going to say, there's no Dam in those.
But then Rabbi Loza's shita is that if there's no Dam, there's no Issa Dam, and if so fact, there's no Issa Eivim Menachai. So again, I'm not advocating this, but theoretically, take a piece of salmon off the live fish and eat it, according to Rabbi Loza. Chachamim omrim eino noig el v'tahorim. The Chachamim reject the conclusion, the derivation of the Hekesh of Rabbi Loza to teach you that just like Dam is Asur in Behemoth Tmeya, so too Eivim Menachai is Asur in Behemoth Tmeya. And why is this so? Shenemar lo sochal anefesh im habasar el habasar lechudei, meaning when you isolate and drop the element of nefesh and you shech the animal, then it's mutter. But when you add the nefesh element, then it becomes osa. That's only kol shpsaru mutter, which means if it wasn't nefesh, it would be mutter. Atam mitzuv al eivara, then you have the isa eivim menachai. Kol she'ein b'saru mutter, which means behemet tmeya, ein atam mitzuv al eivara, that's the opinion of the chacham. So this brisa is really a repeat performance of what we saw in Rabbi Yochanan, but now it's a Braisa, so we don't need Rabbi Yochanan. However, the Braisa adds something that we didn't see in Rabbi Yochanan, and that's a third Shita regarding Eivim Menachai. And this is going to be a very fascinating Shita that has to engage our minds. Rabbi Meir Omer, Eino Noeg El Behema Tahora Bilvat. No, it's don't just exclude Dogim V'Chagovim from the categories of Eivim Menachai, which is the shita that seems to be common to all Tanoim, but in addition, exclude Chai of the Oath from Eivim Menachai. And this, in a certain sense, is the most radical, kula, mekil shita that we have with regard to Eivim Menachai. That Eivim Menachai is limited to a kosher animal, but not only to a kosher animal, it's limited to a behemoth. A chaya, for example, is also a kosher animal. Like, I don't know if you've ever eaten venison, which is a deer, and that's a chaya tahor. But if you were to pluck the limb of a deer and eat it while the deer is still alive, according to Rabbi Meir, you would not be violating the Isur of Eid Menachah. And why is that so? I mean, after all, the Torah says, Lo tochlu ha-nefesh ma-basar, even chayav yof is called basar. Well, of, I don't know, I'm not sure about of. That's a sugi we had about basar b'cholav, and it's basar of b'cholav is doraisa, whether of is considered basar or not. But certainly chayav should be could be included in basar, and there is a man Yomer who says that even if of b'cholav is the rabbanon, but chaya b'cholav, if you cook a chaya meat with milk, it's asur. Again, I'm not passing aloch l'maisa, but there is such a sheet in the Tanoim. We had it. And here, we're talking about chaya as far as the Iser of Eivir and Achai, where the Torah says, Lo socha ha-nefesh ma-basar. Does basar exclude chaya? So the answer to this lies in the Torah itself. The key to unlock the mystery of Rabbi Meir's Shita is in the Torah itself. And here we'll open up to Dvarim Yud Beis. But we'll start this parasha just two psukim earlier. And the Torah says as follows. Let me just open the Chumash for a second. Oh, you have it. What page number is it?
No, I just got the
quote. Oh, you're looking in the Torah R.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I should have done this all myself. But. All right. But let me just read to you what I find here in the Chumash. Am I having trouble finding this? Because
it's
I'm
Yud Beis Kaf Aleph.
Yeah, so why don't I find it here? Yud Beis. Oh, here it is. Sorry. So if you happen to have this blue chumash, it's on page 465. So the Torah says in Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Now keep in mind, the Pasuk that we want to get to is Kaf Beis, which is Chav Gimel, actually. Chazak levilti achol adam, and then lo sokla nefesh and abasa. But two psukim earlier, which is sort of like the introduction to this whole parasha, this unit, it says ki yirchak mincha makom, which means that you're not in the base of Hamikdash where they shechted karbonos. You're far away from the base of Hamikdash, and now you want to eat meat. Is the Torah says v'zavachta, etc. What does v'zavachta mean? You have to shecht the animal. So you can't eat meat without shechting the animal. Which animal? So the Torah says v'zavachta mibkarcha mitzonecha. Bakar and tzon. Bakar is the more heavy animals, like cattle, if they have simoni kashrus. And tzon are the smaller animals, you know, the sheep and the chicken. Well, chicken is an oaf, so that's not a good example. And then if you fast forward to Poskov Gimel, it says Rakhazak Levilti Achol Dam below Sokal and Nefesh Mabasa. So Rabbi Meir says this is all one unit and it's indivisible. And the subject of this unit is Behema, is Bakar and Tzom, to the exclusion of Chayav Yof. And therefore if the beginning of the parasha is referring to Behema, so to the end of the parasha is referring to Behema exclusively, and there's no Iser Eivir Menachai in Chai V'Yof. That's the Chiddush of Rav Meir. It's a pretty big Chiddush. Now I was wondering, thinking out loud, could Rav Elazar and Rav Yehuda accept the Shita of Rav Meir? Meaning, they learn from the equation between Eivir Menachai and Dam, that Dam applies even to a Behemah Tmeah, and therefore Eivir Achai applies to a Behemah Tmeah. But maybe it's only Bakar and Tzom, which is in other words, No, this is impossible because dam. That's the Gemara in Krisus that we didn't see. Dam in Behemoth Meir is also, and therefore Avram and Achai of Behemoth Meir is also, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lozor. And therefore, wherever there's an Isur Dam, then if so factor there's an Isur of Avram and Achai, the Isur of Dam applies even to Chai of Yof. Well, what time is it now?
Mincha.
Okay, it's time for Mincha. So we'll stop here. We pretty much finished, you know, this part of the sugya. So I'm very excited about that. And shukrat everyone for, you know, for joining.
So no share on Thursday.
Thursday I'm going to be up in the north, not because of Meiron so much. I don't even know if I'll get to Meiron, although I'll be pretty close. But because my kids live in Kariel and I have my first grandson's bar mitzvah on Thursday.
I'll
celebrate.
I won't get into Meiron.
You know what, Sammy? We took the guys from Yeshiva for years and years to go to my home. I never went. I heard such stories about what goes on over there, and I got cold feet. So.